Everybody, I'm often nervous to preach. I just about can't hold my hands still. I pray this is good for you. If you will, begin opening to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. I want to bring some good news first. Many of you all have heard of, maybe you met one or two of you, Larry Brown. He was in the congregation there at Danville for a long time, and he was in Madisonville. And he's the one that set up Free Grace Radio, the website where you can go find where Grace Preachers are. And for us pastors, he's set up, those that preach, Ultimate Index. It's a zip file with every kind of book you could think about reading that's good. It's all on there, and commentaries and everything. And Grace eBooks, and he helped publish some of the men that's wrote things and many other things. He was a great blessing for the furtherance of the gospel in this generation. And Friday night, he's without sin. Lord took him home. So that's a great blessing. Those that they're in Madisonville, those that know him and his family will miss him. And it'll hurt their hearts, I'm sure. But he ain't missing them. He's with his Redeemer. Here in Matthew 15, the title of my message is Great Faith Proven. The Lord's going to try this great faith. This Canaanite woman, going to prove her faith. And in that, he's going to prove himself. There's four types of ground, ain't there? Sometimes that seed goes and it shoots up, and boy, it looks like it's just a piece of wheat like the rest of us. But it's different. That wind comes when the trial comes, the affliction because of the word comes. When all these things come, if there ain't no root there, it just falls right over, or it's plucked away. So he's not proving that this woman's diligence or this woman. Now, I'm leaning on my faith. He's proving she ain't got no faith and he's her faith. There's no faith in and of ourselves. Christ is our faith. He's the faithful one. And if the Lord don't show us that, men, women are going to go into judgment thinking they're all right. I'm about to jump three quarters way through my notes. I hope this is a comfort to those that are disturbed and those that are comfortable. I hope this disturbs you. I do for your sakes, for your soul's sakes. I do. Look here. What do you think of great faith? Whenever you think of great faith, that's being tough and strong, you know, and being tried, experienced. If we think we're tried, if we think that we're the proven ground, we're in trouble. Christ is the one that was tried. He's the faithful one. I'm telling you, it seems like a slight difference. It's a dangerous ground to be walking on. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Is that loving? Is that tender and kind? And hello, buddy. You're a dog. I ain't give you children's food. That is loving. Don't seem like it on the outside. He's putting himself in his right place and her in her right place, in her heart. And she said, Truth, Lord. Capital T, truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's tables. And Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He begins there in verse 21 and says, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. You know where Tyre and Sidon is? That's way up north. Nowadays it's outside of Israel. It's in Lebanon. Lord's going to go up to bring her down. He ascended on high that he might make us descend in our own hearts, that we decrease and he increases. You see that? And it's way out there in the uttermost parts. Way off, Tyre and Sidon is. This is the one that's able to save them to the uttermost that come to him by God, that's drew to him. seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He had a child up there. He had a sheep up there, and he had to go get her. He went all the way out there to Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman, verse 22, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. What made that woman come out to Christ? Well, there's two things, wasn't there? There was a need. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. An unclean spirit was in her. And she heard. Everybody's got a problem. This one heard. Who preached to her? I don't know. An unnamed source, didn't it? It says in Mark, the same account, Mark 7, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. She heard of him and came and fell on his feet. And this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, a Gentile woman, way out there in the boonies with a sick child, heard of Christ. Almighty God says that's a miracle. If I bring everybody to me, it's missing a left arm. Got it blowed off in war or whatever. Got it cut off in a tree chipper. And I go, whoop. And their arm grew back. We said, wow, that was a miracle, wasn't it? Lord said, all those things happen, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This poor Gentile dog, somebody preached the gospel to her. She heard, and she believed, and she had a need, and she knew he would supply all her need, and she came. This is miraculous. This is the work of God. This is how God saves sinners. That's something, isn't it? Gentile woman heard of Christ, and there was a need. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That's saying he's the Christ. You're out of the house of David. You're Lord and you're Christ. That's who you are. I believe. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This may have been outwardly. This may have been a possession of a demon, and this girl's thrashing and throwing herself in the fire like that other one was. Or it could be internal. This is all of us by nature. Did you know that? Every one of us, we all have a cup. And born of Adam, there's one race on this earth, Adam's race, and it's in trouble. Somebody needs to tell them, they need to hear. And that we're filled with a devil called self. Do you know that? Over Matthew 16, the Lord started to show his disciples how he was going to go to Jerusalem, suffer all these things of the elders and the priests and the religious folks there. And they was going to kill him. And he was going to be raised again the third day. And Peter got mad about that. And Peter took him. He grabbed a hold of him. And he said, began to rebuke him. He was rebuking God. And said, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. No, Lord, not that way. No. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Ooh, that's us. We don't think poor old Peter. I don't think poor old Kevin Thacker. Left to myself. We'll look next hour. Without him making my cup run over, my cup will fill up with self. Self. Being told I know something and I know best and I have experience and I've been tried and I've been proven and I've been through this a whole bunch and I know what to do. Lord looked him dead in the eye and said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. We are all unclean in the love of this world. Not God. We care about the things of this world. We worship the creature and not the creator, don't we? That was so plain in Romans 1. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Pick one, whatever it is, not God. And God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into lie and who worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. We need to hear about that creator, don't we? That's all of us. We're all vexed with a demon. This woman's praying for her daughter, who she loved. What was the response? God save my daughter. You parents, do you pray for your children to hear the gospel? I pray for your children to hear the gospel. Here's a response, Matthew 15, 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. This is the true proven ground of faith. Do you know that? Silence from God. We go through heartache. We go through trial. We do. We cry out in pain. Not too often do we cry out in joy, do we? Just, oh, Lord, thank you. Today's a good day. But to cry out desperately and not be answered. He said in Isaiah 54, "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and a grieved spirit." That's what this is, isn't it? It's Isaiah 54. You can read that when you get home. "A wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment I've forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. And a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment." We cried out. How long's a moment with God? Might be a twinkling of an eye. That could be 100,000 years too. Days of 1,000 years. "But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Every time I read it, I always think of a parent. Our children sometimes get a little rambunctious and go exploring in the stores. And so we just step back behind that aisle, you know, kind of peek a little bit. And when they start looking around, they don't see no parent. We've hid our faces from them. What do? They run to find us, don't we? Teaching them something. Lord said, "I've hid my face." Lord, I'm with you always. We have to have a little understanding here, don't we? Sometimes you call out to God and he don't answer. You ever prayed for somebody you love for 15, 20 years? Don't hear a word, do you? And then one day, just for a moment, that's all 18 years was, just a moment. And he'll answer. He'll draw you. Matthew 27. That's us. We feel bad. But what's our affliction? It's light. That ain't nothing. Because we're required to look to him always, and we forget God. We forget him. Christ was forsaken. He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That's to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He called out. While being forsaken, not a word. Not a word. He called out to God, not a word from him. And instead of cursing and turning and getting frustrated like I do, maybe like you do, our King did this. That's what we read in Psalm 121. "I lifted up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." He didn't have no help. He didn't have a word. I'm still looking to the Father. Well, he's slaying you. Well, I trust him. That's what Job was taught. Isn't that a good lesson? Don't you want to be taught of God? We want to do cartwheels and win the lottery and drive Porsches and have houseboats, don't we? I want to be made like Christ. I want to think the way he thinks. Job was taught that, and this woman here is taught that, a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Maybe he'll teach me. He said, "My health cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved." But which we don't see him. The Lord's doing just as he sees fit, just as right. What's good for me and for the glory of his Son. "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord's thy keeper. He ain't sleep somewhere. He ain't snoozing. He's awake. He's doing all the work. Just like we learned in Ruth, wasn't it? Naomi said, "Honey, you go to bed. That man ain't going to sleep till the job's done. He ain't going down. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." That's what we need. We need soul preservation. We got a soul problem. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." I get communication from people that are desperate. They have a need. And they want me to pray for very specific things and very specific outcomes. I pray they receive the one who is needful. And they have grace and trouble in their time of need. But I can't do anything special. Did you know that? Now, I am not. Let's not hear that part and then I lose you. And you say, "Well, Kevin's telling us not to pray for one another." Let's attend the whole shooting match, okay? I'm not saying we're not to pray for one another. Like I put in the bulletin, I need you to pray for me to get a message for you. And I need you to pray that God gives you hearing ears so you hear it, not a spirit of slumber. Both are needful. The Lord told us to do both, didn't he? We are to pray for one another. But I need that not because you got a 1-800 number direct line to God or I do. It's because you'll ask for the things I won't ask. I'll ask for something selfish. I'll consume it on my lust. Say, Lord, take this thorn from me. Make it easy on me. Do all these good things that I want. Instead of, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. There in verse 23, he answered her not a word. So she went to those disciples. She said, well, he ain't listening. You're a man of God. I'll talk to you. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, we're trying to work here, and she's wearing us out. But he answered, said, I am not sent, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord can preach. He don't need 30 minutes to preach a message. He can say a word. He'd wave his hand if he was pleased, but he said, I'll speak it. And he'll say, live. Or he'll say, follow me. Look here at this message. You talk about a sermon. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A sentence, isn't it? He's preaching a wonderful message. What's he say? I am. The great I am. The one that spoke to Moses. The self-existent one. The one that is. We don't even understand that. He was. He's going to be. No, back then he is. Right now he is. He's going to be is. He said, I am. I am. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the holy, sovereign God of all creation, of all providence, of all salvation, of all preservation. He's all and in all. He does with his own as he sees fit. That's a Gentile. I came here for Israel. Was that a physical nation? This is a spiritual nation. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're all of Adam's fallen race, but God. This is good news. He's rich in mercy, and he's pleased to save some of those sons of Jacob. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And natural mankind, who's vexed with the devil, says, how in the world could he hate Esau? That ain't fair. That's us sitting in judgment. We're making ourselves a judge. If God shows us that we're the ones vexed with the devil, if he brings us down, makes us a dog, we'll say, how in the world could he love Jacob? If we see him high and lifted up, if God reveals Christ to us, not some buddy, not some co-pilot, not some dude wearing tennis shoes, he's God, a holy God. We'll bow down our face before him. We'll be a dead man. We'll seal up our lips. We'll stop talking, start listening, won't we? Sovereign electing grace. And he says, I'm sent. The Father sent him, didn't he? This on purpose. On purpose. What a message. I couldn't get over it this week. I was pacing this morning. Everybody showed up. I could tell somebody. It's sent. The God-man came. God with us for his sheep. Then she came and worshiped him. Same message, isn't it? Well, I'm in time of need. Hear this message. I'm in time of great joy. Hear this message. It's raining or it's sunny. It don't make a difference. That's what we need to hear. The great I am is going to save his people, and he's going to get all the glory for it. We don't need three R's. We need him. Get that? We are ruined by the fall. We are redeemed by his blood, and he has to come regenerate us. That's so. That's all him. And she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. You notice how each time, you read them other accounts of Mark, everything she says, every time she talks, just like that blind man in John, keeps getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. You need help? She cried for it. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I came to feed my people. He says, you're a dog. You're a dog. Brother Mahan, he said one time, if a child of God If they can put up with the Lord, they can put up with you. The hard things the Lord has to say to us, you can handle a person. He tells us the truth, don't he? He said in John 6, "Wherefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given me my Father." That's exactly what he's just saying. Nobody can come to me except the Father gave them to me, and they're drawn. I came for the house of Israel, that spiritual house. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You run them people off, Lord. What'd you say to them? He said, "You going to go too?" How about you? That's a successful ministry. Lost 5,000 people in a congregation. Looks at the only 12 standing. Said, "You beating it too?" What'd he say? "I've got some demands and we'll stay." Hogwash. Get out of here. He said, Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom?" Not to what, not to where. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure." That's on a Tuesday and on a Thursday and on a Sunday. Not just Lord's Day. "We're sure, I know it, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're him. We know you. How am I going to leave you? You're my husband. We're married. We're made one. Can't leave you. No more than I can leave my right arm. She threw up her hands when the Lord said that. "It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." She goes stomping off and saying, "Well, them disciples wouldn't help me and the Lord wouldn't help me. And guess I'll do it myself, or we'll get some remedies and try something else, or a witch doctor." She didn't say the Lord abandoned her, did she? What'd she say? Verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord, truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I'm the dog. You're the master. What a sermon this lady's preaching. You're right. I'm a dog. I ain't worth nothing. No matter how low I am, if I go below a dog, there's things lower than a dog. Do you know that? Dog ain't worth nothing. Old Don said, now the people's letting them in their homes and on their beds and on their kitchen tables. Dog ain't worth nothing. What about a worm? What about a maggot? I'm a maggot. You're the master. You're my Lord. Lord, that's everything. That's everything. Henry said that too. He said, we ought to quit coddling people and calling them Christians whenever all they do is think about God once a week on Sundays. They don't know him. They don't know him. If you know him, you love him. I think about that woman all day, every day. There's been times of darkness. It seems like a couple of days or longer, and don't think on the Lord. And oh boy, what a pit. You think you're doing okay. And when God reveals that to you, you talk about hitting the dirt. Dog's got it a whole lot better than I got it. I'm a worm, ain't nothing. Maggot. He's still the Lord, my Lord. He's the master. That's what I need. That's what I need. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. That's what was lost in the garden. Adam didn't have no way to get back to God's presence, did he? Lies is all he knew now. He didn't have no truth. Didn't have no life. He's spiritually dead, though. He's walking around on 2 feet. And all that's born of him made just like him. We need capital T, truth. Truth. Before we bow to the only true God and Savior, Christ our Lord, we have to have that need. We have to be in trouble to cry to him. We have to hear. Mankind doesn't need to be coddled and told what good job they're doing. And that they're good little boys and girls, and oh man, you've done everything wonderful. We need to be told we're nothing but grass. I was talking to Brother Elmquist, preaching this last Wednesday. I preached this to you all almost 5 years ago now. 3 ways to approach God. She came looking for help for somebody else. Then she came looking for help for herself. And then she's a dog, and that's when God's going to bless her. And anytime I think I'm something other than a dog, I'm in trouble. I'm vexed. That's what's needed, isn't it? Where are the disturbers of Israel? Got that from Henry too. You think, I hit pause on it. Think about what a good preacher is. Now, we want a real good preacher. We want a real good pastor. Now, stop. And you think through your mind. I did. He got me. Think through your mind. What is that? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it's somebody that don't really offend people, that ain't out to cause trouble. It's somebody that unifies and makes everybody happy. And he emphasizes, and that's able to grow a big congregation and keep them happy. A happy congregation. Where's the disturber of Israel? Where's the sons of thunder? Where's the prophet that says, repent to God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Stop doing what you're doing. You ain't the way. He's the way. What you know ain't true. He's truth. Well, I'm alive. No, you ain't. You're spiritually dead. He's life. He's life eternal. Bow to him. See him. Know him. Love him. Believe him. We're dogs. And he's the master of all. Come to his feet. Come for a crumb. Come begging for a crumb of mercy. Lord, if I could, like that woman touched the hem of his garment. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need to do. And this whole DNA problem I got, issue blood, is cured. This woman, same thing. I don't need a steak. Lord, if I got just something that fell off of your piece of bread on the way to the ground, that's all I need. All I need. Now what's he say? He ignored her. He said, you ain't nothing but a dog. Get away from me. You ain't supposed to be here. And he answered, said to her, oh woman, great is thy faith. God says, that's great faith. Do you want that kind of faith? That's saving faith. I don't want to see proud people walk into judgment thinking they did something. I don't. I want to cry from the walls of this Jerusalem as loud as I can and don't give them any rest and say, knock it off, repent. May God make us dogs. He said, great is thy faith, colon. You got faith. There's days you say, I think, oh, what little faith I have walking through this world of darkness, this valley of the shadow of death, scared, mad, nervous, upset, whatever. Lord's on his throne. Why don't I have faith? And then other days I say, oh, you have little faith. Did you hear that? He said, we got faith. We got a crumb. That's all I need. That's all she needed. Thankful, too, wasn't she? He said, great's your faith. Colon. Now, that's settled. Now something else is going to, she sought first the kingdom of God. Now something else is going to happen. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He did all that and healed her daughter too. That's what she showed up looking for. Boy, she left with a lot more. He provided exceedingly abundant to her, didn't he? Do you want to be provided exceedingly abundant for? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What honors God? Well, let's willfully sin against God. How about that? And then grace can abound. God forbid. What honors God? I want that. Do you? I have to be shown what that is. And I don't have a good idea. Lord's patient. And he's the faithful one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. All that other stuff be all right. And if it ain't, that's all right too. He gives us that grace, doesn't he? Like Paul said, take this thorn from me. It hurts. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll be all right. He'd leave it there. And I bet every time that tweaked a little bit, whatever it was that bothered Paul, he thought, well, Lord's faithful, not me. And everything he does is right. And I wouldn't have it no other way because he's being glorified in it. I wonder what her attitude was and her demeanor and her disposition as she walked away from that place. Huh? I got a good idea. Let's pray together. Lord, make us thankful dogs. You haven't gave us crumbs, Lord. You gave us a body of Christ. The whole of him for the whole of us. What a thought in perfection. And this is right. You've justified us, Lord, and you're just in it. Because of our Redeemer, because of our propitiation, our substitute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. May Christ be exalted in this place. Lord, may the dew come and the rain, your words from heaven, and make us grow. Forgive us our unbelief. Forgive us our doubts and our frustrations and our impatience, Lord, and be with us as you promised you will be. We ask these things because of your Son, because of his shed blood. Amen. All right, brethren. We'll meet again at 10:30.